This is Joan Boney speaking. This is a special podcast I'm making because Iran attacked Israel tonight, April 13th, 2024. We don't know how far this is going to go, but anytime you see anything attacking Jerusalem, it's very serious. From biblical standpoint, Luke 21, Jesus says, starting at verse 20, "And when ye see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. And let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto." Tonight they reported on television that all the airports are closed. It seems to be very difficult to consider getting out of Jerusalem. They talked about many people in the hotels packed their bags and appeared down in the lobby thinking to go to the airport to leave Jerusalem, and they were stopped from leaving the hotel because the airport is closed. All the airports were closed. So the situation is very tense there. They might get out by car, I don't know. There might be another way to leave, but obviously people are trying to leave Jerusalem and unable to do so by report of CNN. Picking up again with Luke 21, verse 20, and this should be a special concern to us. For Jesus in this writing said, "For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled." I've been watching this situation ever since Israel was attacked by Hamas, thinking it might be representative of what the Bible calls the beginning of sorrows, which leads up to the Great Tribulation. Are we going to be taken out before the Great Tribulation or not? I really don't know, but I think this is serious enough that every person who calls himself a Christian should be tuned into it from the standpoint of Scripture. We who know the Bible know one of the most serious things is when armies surround Jerusalem and make attacks against the city of Jerusalem. We need to look at Matthew 24, because it is a serious statement made by Jesus before the crucifixion and resurrection. And it concerns an outline, sort of the end times. Matthew 24, the first thing they speak about is the temple at Jerusalem. "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Only this week did I try to look and see if this temple that Jesus is speaking of at this point in time if it's been destroyed already. I really don't know the answer to that. I stayed with it for a while and then went to another subject. But if it has already been destroyed, then it can't be a current event he's speaking of. But if that temple is still standing, it could be a very serious point to note. But basically, Jesus is showing his disciples, who were very impressed with the temple, that all these things made by man will be destroyed at the end of this world. We know God is going to destroy the heavens and the earth. 2 Peter chapter 3, you'll read about that in verse 10. We know that is going to happen at the end of this world. Time is such a strange thing because Jesus says, I come quickly. And yet, it's been 2,000 years since he said that. But what we have to understand is what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3. He said, time in the sight of God is not like time in the sight of man. To God, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. That explains why some of these things have not happened sooner. Because in the sight of God, with that formula, it would have only been 2 days since, 2 days plus, since Jesus was crucified and resurrected in the sight of God. You can see that for yourself by looking at 2 Peter chapter 3 at the beginning. I think it's verse 8 maybe. Back to Matthew 24. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus in Matthew 24 is going to talk about this. The first thing he mentions is the corruption in the churches. It is called the falling away of the churches. Paul tells that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The day of the Lord will not come until first a falling away occurs. The falling away are not people leaving the churches. The falling away are the churches leaving the scriptures and setting up doctrines contrary to the doctrine of Christ in the Bible. That is Antichrist entering into the churches. It is the apostasy of the end times. Jesus will judge them when he returns. We know that by 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. With the coming of Jesus, he will deal with these apostate churches, and he will destroy them. Apostate churches are churches that eliminate certain scriptures and set up other doctrines. For example, have you ever heard Matthew chapter 5? Verse 32 taught at a church. Jesus says in that verse of scripture, at the end of that verse, the man who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Jesus repeats that same thing in Matthew 19, I believe it is. I read it tonight. But Matthew 5:32. I've never heard anybody preach this in any church in 40 plus years, that the man who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. The reason it's not taught is because the pastors and the leaders of some of these, or many of these Christian-type churches, the pastors and the leadership want big crowds at their churches. They want the money that big crowds bring in. They want the fame of having big congregations. They feel approved by the world if they have lots of people coming to their church. So it's pitiful, but it is ordained that in the end times this would happen. When you know it's going to happen in the end times, you don't get quite as upset when you see it happen because it's ordained by God. And God will judge it. Jesus will judge it. So just don't attend those churches if you see that. You don't have to be furious. I have been angry many times at them before I learned that this is ordained by God to happen. But this apostasy is something that's ordained by God. Paul spoke of it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You can read about it for yourself, this falling away. In 1982, I was reading that passage of Scripture, and God said to me, the falling away are not people leaving churches, the churches. It's the churches leaving the Scriptures. I've heard so many people say, church is not like it used to be. It feels watered down. What they're really saying is they're leaving a bunch of Scripture out in order not to offend people and to have big crowds. And that is the falling away of the end times. Antichrist moving into the churches themselves and setting up doctrines opposite to that which we read in the New Testament Bible. So if you see that in your church, it's really quite simple. You just leave that church. You're not going to be able to correct it. You're not going to be able to do anything about it. Jesus will straighten it out when he returns with the second coming of Jesus. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 tells us that. So avoid the anger. Avoid the striking out at these people. Just leave them alone. Don't be a part of it. Don't approve them by being there. Leave them. That's what God has had me do many times, is leave churches where they were teaching something opposite from the Holy Bible. The first church I ever attended in 1975, after I was born again, was a little church called Believer's Chapel in Dallas. My best friend and her husband went to that church. I went with them. The pastors were professors at Dallas Theological Seminary. They were teaching that tongues is of the devil. I didn't really know anything about tongues, but I sat there and listened to a seminar that one of those professors was teaching at that church. It scared me to death. I certainly didn't want anything to do with anybody who spoke in tongues or did anything like that, because he said it was of the devil. But one day I was reading the Bible, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the last verse in chapter 14, Paul says, forbid not to speak in tongues. And Paul talks about tongues in the church and how it's an approved thing in the church, provided you have an interpretation of the tongue. The thing I did after I read 1 Corinthians 14 and saw that it was approved by God and printed in the Holy Bible, I said, well, I'm never going to go back to that church. that church is teaching against the Bible. So this is the position we put ourselves in today. Many churches are teaching things against the Bible, or they have completely eliminated the doctrine on certain subjects in order to get big crowds. It's pitiful, but that is what the end times was going to have. It is just a matter of don't be a part of it. If you see them teaching something opposite to a printed scripture in the New Testament Bible, just don't go back. Matthew 24, verse 6. Something else Jesus said you're going to see at the end times. He told his disciples, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nations, and kingdoms against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." That's verse 8 of Matthew 24. Many of the things have already come to pass. We have seen things like World War I, World War II, churches departing from scripture of the Bible and setting up doctrines contrary to Christ and Antichrist in the churches by setting up the false doctrine and eliminating the real doctrine. Verse 9, "Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Of course, we saw that in the days of Peter, the great persecution of the Jews against the churches. But I can tell you for sure, the churches today greatly persecute people like me who have messages of correction to deliver to them. Also in World War II, many of these scriptures in Matthew 24 took place in World War II. "And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. In Germany, people lived in constant terror. For if a neighbor or even their own children became offended by them, they could be turned in to the Gestapo. And often they just disappeared, never to be seen again. They were tortured and killed." So we saw a lot of that in World War II. When I first began attending a church, they were talking about Antichrist. And I said, "Well, what's that?" And they said, "Don't you know?" And I said, no, I've never heard of that." And they said, "Well, Antichrist is someone who comes into the government of men and is opposite to Christ." And I said, "Well, looks like they would have thought that was Hitler." And one woman said, "Oh, no, Antichrist comes speaking peace." She didn't know anything about Hitler. Hitler's greatest thing was when he was planning war against a country before World War II started, when he was going to destroy a country and take it over for Germany, he often said that he was just protecting the country against their enemies, and he spoke peace at Munich in front of the prime ministers of France and England, and they were deceived because Hitler came speaking peace when he was planning war. So it could have easily been one of the Antichrist kings of Daniel. In Daniel, he speaks of several kings that arise that are Antichrist. But we know by reading 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, there were already many Antichrists sitting in the churches where John and Paul spoke. We know by that scripture, we know by Acts 20, because Paul went to Ephesus and met with the elders of the church, and he says, some of you, after I depart, some of you will arise, even among the elders, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. That's in Acts chapter 20. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, John said this to his own church group. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. In the church, there were already many, many Antichrists speaking opposite things. But they left those churches, like John and Paul. They left them. But when John and Paul died, there was not really a restraint to keep these Antichrist people out of the churches. John says they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But he's speaking of the real church, not one of these denominations that the perverse speaking elders set up. In the case of the apostasy of the end time, we're the ones who have to leave because they're teaching things opposite to God at the church. Verse 11, Matthew 24, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Actually, I'm sure he's speaking of false ministers. False ministers would come in and speak doctrines, and that is the end time church. And because iniquity shall abound, says Jesus, the love of many shall wax cold. It's hard to see the iniquity of the churches today and the iniquity of the world today. It is hard to see that. Paul warned us about it in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 6. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. It's much worse today than it was in the time of Paul. Every decade, you can see the worsening by the increase of various sins in movies, on television, in books, things that they would never have spoken of in the 1940s, it's filled with them. Homosexuals, lesbians. And what about homosexuals, lesbians? Well, what does the Bible say? Romans chapter 1. It's not a matter of what do I think. It is what does the Bible tell us? So at Romans chapter 1, verse 23, God speaks about the subject of homosexuals and lesbians. It's what God has to say that is important. Verse 23, Romans 1, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beast and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26. For this cause, now this is really going to tell you what God thinks about homosexuals and lesbians. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. It's not a matter that I go out and try to speak against homosexuals and lesbians. I simply am speaking what the Bible says. It is up to us who are Christians to conform our lives to the New Testament Bible, which tells us what God thinks. Paul says every scripture is inspired by God. And it's helpful to teach us, to correct us, to show us the correct way of God. That is 2 Timothy chapter 3, at the end of the chapter. So this is simply what God says. Now this subject of without natural affection, you could certainly apply it to abortion. What woman kills her own child? Usually they protect their own child. You can even see this in the animal world. You try to do some harm to a baby cub bear and see what mama does. Well, you better be ready to depart from that area. They protect their children. Even the animals usually protect their children. So we see iniquity getting worse and worse and worse on this earth in our lifetime. It's gotten to the point integrity is so absolutely horrible. It's just hard to find anyone who holds up the Bible and will give up their reputation in order to speak what is right in the Bible. Because all Bible is truth, inspired by God. The New Testament Bible is what we as Christians live by. That sets forth the rules for the New Testament church. And we conform ourselves to that. But as bad as the iniquity is, many people who call themselves Christians will go the way of the world. But Jesus says in verse 13 of Matthew 24, "He that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved." Now, here's another thing that has to happen before Jesus returns. And in fact, it has already happened. So the stage is set so that Jesus could return any time. "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." With the advent of internet, the gospel has been preached to all the world. This is a major factor showing us we are at the threshold of the coming of Jesus and the coming of the great tribulation of God and the destruction of this heaven and earth. And Jesus sends his angels to collect the elect of God and remove the elect of God from the destruction of before he destroys the heaven and earth. 2 Peter 3, verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." That is after the great tribulation from God, the 14 plagues from God, which you can read about Revelation 8, Revelation 9, and Revelation 16. Matthew 24, "When ye therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand." I believe the abomination of desolation is the removal of Scripture and another doctrine being set up in the churches. I think that's what it is. That is widespread, has been fulfilled. "For then there shall be great tribulation. After the churches depart from the New Testament doctrines of Christ and change them, when the iniquity of the cup has been filled, then shall be great tribulation." And we're exactly at this point in time. "Such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall ever be." That's Matthew chapter 24, verse 21. "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." And then he warns us about people saying, "Oh, Jesus is over here," or "Jesus is over there." When Jesus returns, he returns through the clouds, and he will be seen by every eye on this earth. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days," this is verse 29, "shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, because they rejected him. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Verse 31, "And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. There's more to Matthew 24, but I'm just stating to you the things that pertain to what we're seeing right now with Jerusalem surrounded by armies and the attack on Jerusalem from Iran. This pinpoints what's going to happen and where we stand on the threshold, not only of the coming of Jesus, but the great tribulation and the elect being taken into heaven, and the heavens turning dark, the sun turning dark, the moon turning dark, the stars falling from heavens, the power of heavens being shaken. No man does that. It is God who does that. And they know it, and they're terrified. They will be terrified. I had a dream a great many years ago about this subject. The earth moved on its axis. People were terrified. The governments of men were meeting together to discuss what could be done. Well, it's God who does that. No man's going to do anything about it. A newscaster was trying to tell the story on camera. He got so scared as he spoke about it, he just shut his mouth and walked off camera and left the building. That's how terrified he was. Most of the times when newscasters tell a story, they just say, oh, how terrible this thing was, and it was just awful. But they know it doesn't affect them. This affected that newscaster, and he just shut up and walked off camera. That's what this is. It's the Great Tribulation, that God brings those 14 plagues upon heaven and earth. And then he destroys the heavens and the earth. He has created a new heaven and a new earth for the people who belong to him and obey him. And the angels gather the elect of God up to heaven. Now, in Matthew 24, he says, therefore, be ye ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Many people don't see that these things have already happened. We are standing right on the threshold of the return of Jesus and the Great Tribulation. That's where we are today. And all that destruction brought by Antichrist into the churches, where the churches fall away from specific scripture, that is an important key. And the fact of having internet and having the gospel spoken all over this world. So read this Matthew 24. We've also printed a map for you so you can see how Jerusalem, where it's located, and the nations around it, and the great danger it's in. But it's going to be destroyed. At some point, it's going to be destroyed. And we are seeing one of the first attacks of the modern world upon Jerusalem. And that's a key message. So read the things that I've printed for you today. Consider the scripture. Look at what's happening right before our eyes. Thank you for allowing me to share this with you today.